Well, today is Mission Sunday, and the chair of our mission committee, Willie Mark, has been doing an awesome job in helping this day come about. He has been tirelessly working with our missionaries, really, throughout the year. He sends them letters. He connects with them to talk to them about coming to our church. He also connects with them to see about their work and for reports about their work. And he also is very involved in the concert of prayer and putting together the slides and helping to form the themes around which we prayed last week. And Brother Willie is also a close friend of our speaker today, Pastor Duncan. And he has been very excited and in knowing that the day has come now when you can join us. And I can tell you, Pastor Duncan, that he loves you a lot. And that's a really special thing. And when Pastor Duncan and Shimul, Virginia, came through the door today, I could get a sense of why he loves you so much, because you are a very loving person and a very excited person for God's work. And we're just delighted to welcome you and Shimul today to be with us and to share God's word. Please come at this time.
Thank you, Pastor John. Really excited to be here. Hi, everyone. Again, my name is Duncan. My last name is Sito. Everyone in my church just call me Duncan. They skip the word pastor. I'm not sure if it's a good thing or bad. I will introduce myself a little bit more later, but you know, I just want to thank the church leadership, you know, Pastor John, Willie, Sandy, and you know, to invite me to be here to share my little story within God's big missionary story. Currently, I'm the voluntary pastor of a Mandarin-speaking church called Manhattan Gospel Church. It's in Manhattan. It is mostly young Chinese students and professionals, mainly from China. Why do I say I'm a voluntary pastor? Because I still hold my day job, so I have two jobs, you know, like one paying for my daughter's college education and expense, and another, you know, allowing me to serve in this new church. So it has been great. And I hope today that you'll resonate with the story that I'm about to share. Since it happens very close to you, to your church, I actually live in Morris County, and the church plan is in Upper West Side, Morningside Heights, Manhattan. So this is like right in the middle of the two locations. So let's pray first. Dear God, we pray that you fill us up abundantly with the Holy Spirit, that your servant's words reveals your heart, and also that we can see your heart. In Jesus' name, amen. A little bit more about myself, just so you know who I am. I grew up in Hong Kong. I came here to study in New York City for college. Worked all my adult life in Metro New York as an actuary. I currently live, again, in Morris County, and my wife, Regina, is with me today, and we have three children, and the youngest one is in college. We passed that. Okay. So the church planting story started when I was around age 45. I'm older now. I had a chance to start teaching part-time at a university as a lecturer. So at my first class, I realized that my class students were about 70% Chinese, and they're mostly from China. So I was shocked. And not only that, but when I walked around the school campus, There were just Chinese students everywhere, and mostly I can tell they're from China. So I looked it up, you know, at the university's like website, and there were 3,000 Chinese students at that time. Now it's probably about 6,000. So I was shocked again, and over time I got to know my students, and they're just lovely, like, yeah, young people. And I started to think, I did not really ask for this like lecturer job, but why did God bring me to this university with so many Chinese students? What is there a plan for, from God? So one time I was like leaving the university campus. Suddenly there was a big wave of Chinese students like just walking towards and past me. 30 students, you know, randomly. And that was my first holy moment. And when I say holy moments, I meant like, it's the moment that I felt strongly about God's presence, in a deeper way and nothing more. That's what I mean by my holy moments. And I felt touched by God with a voice seems to be saying, Duncan, these are all people that I love. And who is available to share my gospel to them, that I'm God? So the touch was so strong, which almost never happened to me, and I had to stop and respond. And I responded to God saying, God, I don't know what's going on, but I'm willing to share with them who you are, even though I'm not the right person to do that. So at the time, I got a closer look at Jesus' heart at the scripture. That was good. Okay. Yeah, the first scripture that we went through, we can just recite it again, just because they're not that many scripture. Let's do it. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And that was my first holy moment related to this missionary story, that I felt God's compassion towards those people. As well, you know, like, at the time, it was the people that I saw in the Bible narratives, but this time, to me, is the Chinese students from China. So today is the missions conference, of course. So naturally, we will spend some time talking about this great scripture about the gospel mission, right? Okay. So many of us remember that Jesus said this scripture, you know, these words, right before he ascended into heaven, right? So to Matthew, the author of the Gospel of Matthew, this is a very important saying of Jesus. And this is a command, being what we call imperative in Greek language. So you know it's a command, because that the tongue say is a command. And the command meaning that Jesus is not giving his disciple a suggestion. There's no room for negotiation. And when we look at this scripture a little bit closer, Jesus was speaking to the 11 disciples, which of course, they are the 11 apostles, right? But at this point, at this moment, the scripture told us that to them, to Jesus, they are the disciples, because disciple is the word that was used in the Bible. And they are the Jesus followers. So, and we, one would have thought that with Jesus' resurrection and speaking to them like many, many times, they will have great faith by now, right? But Matthew told us that some still have doubts. And they probably were not talking about or doubting whether Jesus actually resurrected, because Jesus right in front of them, right? and have talked to them many times. They were probably thinking about as failed followers of Jesus. They have run away when Jesus was at the cross. How they should encounter with Jesus going forward, and how they could still follow Jesus. Well, it sounds like myself, who often struggle with personal weaknesses and struggles and idols. And many of you may think the same. How can I follow Jesus with all my weaknesses and struggles and idols? I hope you think about that from time to time. But notice that Jesus did not address that problem immediately, but rather took the time to drop his disciples a non-negotiable command, a bomb. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Well, make disciples. And so the command is in the red, scripture in red, make disciples of all nations, right? That's clear, right? And Jesus also taught about how. Let's go quickly. Like he said, go, which is the first how. And secondly, baptizing the new disciples in the name of Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So the second how is to go back to the center of the gospel, accepting the Redeemer, the redemption power of Jesus' death and resurrection, and willingly draw on this promise of living out a self-denial and resurrected life. So back to the basic, what the gospel is about. And the third how is teaching all future disciples to obey everything. That Jesus has commanded. So it's all commands, it's all in. So gospel is not a buffet, you just pick and choose. It's more like a three-meal course. We accepted God's salvation. That's the first course. Our life has to get renewed through the power of the Holy Spirit so that we will be more and more like Jesus. Right? That's the second course. And we live out in God's grace, a life worthy of glory in God's eyes. So that's the third course. So make sure in salvation, you're eating, you're going through the three course meal, not a buffet in which you pick and choose. Oh, I want to follow this, but not that. But if you are like one of the disciples, honestly, you may just get stuck with the words, make disciples of all nations, and not hearing the rest of what Jesus said, right? Like, I know I was, when I was a younger Christian, I was saying, wow, that's so hard. Like, Jesus, like, all nations? All nations? And the disciples may say, especially some of them still have doubts, right? They don't have enough faith. Just 11 people? We don't even have a seminary degree. Or the rabbis at school. That is mission impossible. I hope you can sense, you can get into the psychology of some of the disciples, at least, at the time. That's just mission impossible. Okay. So back to my, Manhattan Gospel Church story. I would just call it MGC. So you learn two acronyms today. MGC is Manhattan Gospel Church, the church that I serve, and another one which I will talk about. So back to my MGC story. So 1 year later, my first holy moment, I started hanging out with the university's Chinese Christian Fellowship. I will call it CPG from now on. So that's the second acronym. So the Columbia Chinese Bible School. A Bible study group. So it's too many, five words is not acceptable in acronym. So I came down to CBG. So, which is a Christian fellowship at Columbia, the Chinese go to. And then I realized a problem, and that is many students in the fellowship really struggle to find a suitable church. You should be really glad that you find a good church, but it's hard. And they will, these students will first try to attend churches in Chinatown, right? Makes sense. Those are where the Chinese churches are. But the demographics are very different in Chinatown compared to themselves. The education, the dialect, the age, and they, most of them could not get used to it. So they started to visit English churches. But then the culture gap is even greater. It's just huge, the cultural differences. So many of them really could not find a church suitable for them. So they will just wander around every time I talk to them. Oh, which church do you go to? They just say, this past week I go to a different church called blah, blah, blah. And every time I ask them, almost like every single time they say they went to a different church. So they were wandering around. So I thought, okay, there's a problem, but it's a non-solvable problem, right? I mean, what can anyone else do? It's just not solvable. So one time I shared their struggles with an older pastor that I respected greatly, and I was just venting to him. But then he said, well, Duncan, you should start a new church for these students from China. I like to watch movies, and especially a scary movie. But that was not scary. Well, Americans' scary movies are not that scary. They're just gross. But that was a scary comment. I felt like chill in my heart. So I did the absolute smart thing, which was to change subject immediately. And it sort of worked, at least I thought. And a few months later, I shared the same situation, just venting with another old and wise pastor. Be careful when you talk to old and wise pastors. That the students struggle to find a suitable church. Then he said, Duncan, you really should start a new church for these people. So I make a spiritually correct statement, not politically correct statement, a spiritually correct statement. Okay, I'll pray about it. And then I change subject immediately. It sort of worked at the time. But then I really did not really pray about it seriously because I was afraid of the answer that I might not want to hear. So that it might be God's wishes against mine. So and to put this in context, like deep down in my heart, it has something to do with my idol, personal idol. My personal idol is I love comfort. If I map it into the seven deadly sins, it would be slow. I don't like to get into uncomfort zone. And at that time, I was serving at my local church, very comfortably. So I was leading worship, not as good as Pastor John, but I was leading worship, but I loved it. I lead missions, ministry, and I serve in that, like a campus, fellowship. I was really enjoying everything, and I was in a good place, and I did not want to change. But then the students continued to share their struggles with me. And I was very disturbed by it. So when I shared the story, the situation with a third pastor, and deep down, I'm saying this to someone, to hoping someone will say, "Oh, Duncan, you're not suitable to start a church." But then he say, "Yes, Duncan, you must start a new church for these young people." I was a little bit upset at that time. This is the third time. So I told him, I'm not suitable to start a new church for them. I'm not a professional pastor. I have a full-time job, which he knew. I'm just an average person, and I don't even speak good Mandarin. And I grew up in a different culture, really, you know, like from theirs. So I was saying that to my pastor friend, but I was also indirectly telling God why this is not a good idea. But then the story continues. Oops. Okay. But then this was the third time I heard the response from my pastor friends, right? So I did feel like Peter, you know, like Jesus asking Peter three times, like, do you love me? So this time I actually pray about it, and after reflection, I told God, okay, I'm willing to do the initial steps, but I don't see how it'll work. But I'll try. So I started to register for the new church, and I started looking for like church space. And since I know this would be one of the most difficult steps, there was pretty much no space, available space at the time. And I started to tell just a few people the need of a new church. But I did not tell a lot of people because I was afraid, you know, I was expecting it to fail. So why tell everyone that I'm going to fail? And I bought a lot of church planning books. I recommend them all and read them all and try to do what they were, you know, they told me to do. Okay. So after a few months, all my church planning plans failed. None of them works. You know, like they have many, many, many plans. You know, the financial plan, the people's plan, the prayer plan, and only two people said they will consider coming to help if a new church. So I told God, "See, God, to start a church in Manhattan, it is not possible. But I did what I could." But then my fourth holy moments came. It came for a period of time this time. And it was like, for some reason, deep down in my heart, I felt joy even though all plans fail. And it's more than just I was resisting, but it was like something strange, because I never felt so encouraged in my entire life. When I was like reading the scriptures, when I was talking to other pastor friends, and even though none of the plans worked, but my heart was full of joy. This never happened to me before. So I knew maybe something's up. So on a Friday afternoon, the famous Riverside Church, if you live in a tall building overseeing Manhattan, you may see that building, which is the space that I was seeking for, like a worship space. They call and say, "Hi, Duncan, we have space available. Do you want to start the worship this Sunday?" 2 days later, I was shocked. God was humorous. So I said, "Of course not. I cannot." No one even knew that I'm starting a new church anytime soon. So within the next, so I told them, okay, maybe the Sunday following. So within the next week, you know, like I talked to everyone that I could, and two preachers say they were willing to come preaching regularly. When I told the fellowship CBG students that we were starting a new church in 2 days, because that was the next Friday, telling them, you know, Sunday we'll have this new church. One person volunteered to lead songs, so we have this Sanctuary leaders. So the next Sunday we started our first Sunday worship with 9 people. Some of you may ask, some of you have critical thinking skills. don't you need a pianist? Well, the two people that were, they say were willing to help, they were both pianists. So we actually started our church with 20% of congregation being pianists. That would make any church jealous. Okay. So Hudson Taylor, the famous, the great missionary, once said, I find that there are three stages in every great work of God. That's the Great Commission. First, it is impossible. Then it is difficult. Then it is done. And I totally agree because I have personally said the words impossible many times to God during this church planting process. But then I realized in front row how God acted out his great work due to him and him alone. And, And don't get me wrong, it was difficult for the past 8 years. You know, we started this church 8 years ago. Many difficulties that we have to face, right? Just like any churches. One is COVID, of course, like when we were growing to maybe 40, 45 people after 4 years since the church started, COVID hit, right? And then it was a matter of survival. So we go back to physical meeting, if Riverside Church let us. I remember the day that we went back to physical worship, like together during COVID. We worship God with our whole heart out. And every Sunday we, of course, during that time, we had to seek God's protection, his presence, his blessings. But very often we vividly like, experience God's being very real among us when we were all in worshiping him. So another difficulty is what kind of church we are to become. Well, you may say a church is a church, right? It should be the same. And I would agree to some degree. And that's what I thought. You know, we are just a church, no different than from other churches. Other than we have more young people, so we have to get them involved. We may be a little bit less, you know, traditional. So usually I, on a typical Sunday, I don't wear tie. But then there are more to that. And over time, God showed us that we have to, become a gospel-centered church, in which the gospel, the center of everything happening in church is Christ and gospel. And all the ministries have to be gospel center. And our church DNA has to be gospel center too, which we try to practice grace and, but then we have to think about the boundaries of grace and everything. And there are also difficulties among ministries. I'm not a good speaker. Just in general, it's like I had just PTSD, speaking to like in front of like a crowd. So preaching to me is like extremely difficult. And you know, like all the preachers say, preaching is so difficult because like, all the key elements, like the preachers, like spirituality, you know, their speaking skills, their time to prepare, whether they find their speaking preaching voice, their methodology and insight, all are important, and those are difficult things. And to me, I have another difficulty because I speak like very broken Mandarin. But I experience how God provide to me like exegetical insights every single time. So again, three stages of God's great work, and difficult is just one step away from done, right? So difficult is it's not a big deal. And back to scripture. Okay. Like God's people in the wilderness, you know, like after they came out from Egypt, When we are in our uncomfort zone, when we go out to make disciples in the world, we often see God's lead more clearly, more vividly, just like those people seeing, you know, the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. And for MGC, we never lack in terms of co-workers. We have enough to run, you know, to do ministry, which is amazing given how much turnover we have as a church, because in the beginning years, they were almost all students, and they graduated not in 4 years, they graduated in 18 months because they were here, most of them were here, for the master degree, which is typically 3 semesters. But we never let, like, you know, God's providing. And in his words also, Jesus directly reminded us that the impossible is true if we rely the success on human, the disciples, right? He was talking to the failed disciples that have doubts. And actually, we will fail God's plan, you know, for sure, relying on ourselves every single time. But look at the scriptures again. When following Jesus' command, we are promised 2 things, his power and his presence. And that would be more than enough to finish his work. So when we look at the disciples themselves, 100% fail guaranteed. But then with Jesus' promise, and the story of Acts prove again and again, story after story, that God's kingdom flourished due to the Holy Spirit's power and God's presence. So we can be all in the Great Commission, because God is all in with his promise that his power and presence with us. A few photos that prove that God's work is done, in terms of not the church is done, but the church start, the church plan has been finished. So we start with 9 people. I could not find a 9 people photo, but yeah, we started with not that many people, but we tried to, you know, you know, go out to share the gospel. There's next to the university, Columbia. And the person on the right, upper right, is the first Saintspiration leader. And the second slide is more recent, and we continue to, we did the busking in front of the school. Actually 2 schools, Columbia and also Manhattan School of Music, which many of you probably know more. And the other photos, the more recent photos, you know, with activities outside and also, you know, in the church. And recently we did have more people coming. Many of them are students, but then more young professionals, because many of our students graduated and they became young professionals. So when young professionals came to New York to work and look for churches, they really resonant with our church, because we try to position ourselves to serve the young people and get them involved and let them make decisions and things like that. So there, in the past 8 years, it just remind me over and over about, like, the goodness of God. Like in the chorus, it said, in all of my life, you have been faithful. And all my life, you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Next time when I come, I may sing it with you. But this time I did not have the lyrics in front. So, okay. So a few reflections. Closing the story. So I will encourage every one of you to pay attention to the gap of the gospel around you. It's likely that at least one or two that God wants you to make a change, make a difference. Right? It might be, okay, at least your family and friends, right? That is one circle. And then there may be another gap in the gospel. Maybe not the Chinese students around you, but maybe, I don't know, maybe, I don't know how many students are there in FDU. Oh, by the way, I was here in OCM like 30 years ago, when you guys were in FDU. I was singing gospel songs at the time. But pay attention to just open your eyes, you know, pay attention to what God want you to see. And secondly, slow down, because we're Metro New York people, we are very busy. When we say we are very busy, everyone say they're busy, but when we say we are very busy, we have a list of things that we do that to prove that we are really busy, right? I know how you feel. But slow down to listen to God's whispering, God's call to you. Especially when he say, who is willing to go for me? Because like, the Great Commission is for everyone, not just for the pastors. And because of God's all-in, take the first and second steps to start your part of God's missionary journey if you have not already. I don't know, it's like... there are many things, like probably like 50 things you can do, but maybe you can start considering like joining a short-term mission trip, take a missionary class. I took Perspectives, which is always helpful. Start praying, about your involvement in missions, contribute to mission funds, but try to do, two things, to get yourself started. And if you already get involved, pray to God how you can be more involved or doing it in a deeper way that God wants you to do. But don't rely on yourself. Trust the God, that we have who alone does wonders. And he can and will definitely work through each of you, because it happened to me, and very average person. So we, just like the 11 disciples that failed Jesus before, even though we failed Jesus before, he could and will work through us. And then take the journey, seeing working through you to make things from impossible to difficult, to done. That's a great journey that you have to experience in life, or else you're missing the boat. And of course, don't forget, all after that, make disciples of all nations, according to Jesus saying how to make disciples. So, to end, okay, who said this word again? It's a test. I usually test my student. Okay. Yes, Hudson Taylor said the original words, these words. But if you think a little bit deeper, someone else also said some of the words. Yeah, it was Jesus said, it is finished, right? Do I have that? Yeah. It was Jesus who said the last sentence, it is finished. Think about this. The Lord Jesus Christ never said, oh, it is impossible for a holy God to bear the sins of the world. Therefore, it's impossible and no way for me to go down to earth and to the cross. Oh, that would be impossible, right? That, But he didn't say that. And imagine, like, you know, and Jesus also did not say on the cross, oh, this is way too difficult to be nailed to the cross for the entire 6 hours. So I'm going to come down early and forget about all this. He did not say that. Instead, he accomplished redemption for you and for me and declared to the whole world, including you and me, it is finished. It is done. So Jesus is the cause and result for us to experience God's salvation, right? Because of his great love, we became saved. And because of his great love, we are willingly to follow him in the Great Commission. But also by following him, we also gain much more of Jesus himself. So he's the cause and the result of Great Commission. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, you are the God who makes the impossible possible. You're also the one who changed from difficult to a joyful and powerful and God-presence life. You're also the God who say, it is done. So, dear God, we are excited to follow you as a missional God on your path. And we are excited to live out our lives in the gospel as well as to tell others about your wonderful gospel. And Jesus, help us. You know how often we fail you. But with your promise, we know that it will work. And it must work. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you, everyone.
Amen. Praise God for sending his servant with his word for us today. Pastor Duncan, would it be all right if anyone had any questions or wanted to talk to you at some point? Would they be able to do that? Great. Yeah, today or maybe another time, or we have people in New York too, so.